From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, what makes some low-income area schools high-achieving?
But first, Ukraine's prime minister is in Washington today asking for help. Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk is meeting with President Obama, Secretary of State John Kerry, and members of Congress just days ahead of that referendum for the people of Crimea about whether to join Russia. Joining us with the latest is the BBC's James Reynolds in Sevastopol, in Crimea. James, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, all the coverage of this has indicated that there's really only one side in this vote on Sunday, and that is a side that is pro-Russian. You're reporting that that's not completely true. Tell us what you're seeing and hearing.
Well, we are seeing some pro-Ukrainian sentiment, but I think the key thing to say is this. Those people will probably not be voting in the referendum. I spent some time earlier at a pro-Ukraine demonstration in the capital, Simferopol. There were about 100 people there. Some of them draped themselves in the yellow and blue Ukrainian flag, but they said there was simply no option for them in the referendum vote because the two questions are, do you want independence or reunification with Russia, or do you want greater autonomy within Ukraine itself? There was no option for saying no or for picking the status quo. For that reason, the pro-Ukraine population may simply decide to stay away from the ballot, and this may turn into one of those referendums where we have very, very high percentages for yes votes.
What do you mean there's no option?
There are two questions on the ballot paper. Number one, and these are not exact translations. Number one is essentially, do you want reunification with Russia? Number two is, do you want Crimea to go back to the 1992 constitution, which essentially means greater autonomy within Ukraine? There's no box, as far as we can tell there, and there's no third option saying none of the above.
So why such a big campaign? We've seen the pictures of this billboard on the side of the road that has a picture of Crimea with a Russian flag inside of it and a picture of Crimea with a swastika inside of it.
I think very clearly because the pro-Russia side and Russia itself wants a comprehensive yes vote, and it'll want a turnout. And it's also turning to some very old historical memories here and a narrative, a story that pro-Russian Crimeans often tell themselves, which is that there was an occupation by the Germans in the 1940s. That's, of course, a fact that happened. And they believe, from their point of view, that the new Kiev government is another reincarnation of a fascist or Nazi-style government trying once more for the second time in 70 years to oppress the Crimean people. So for that reason, the campaign is presented in that light, fitting into the historical story told by pro-Russians here in Crimea.
Well, meanwhile, the new government in Kiev is saying that Russian troops are massing at the borders. Tell us more about what the government is saying today.
Yeah, the new authorities have suggested that Russian military maneuvers close to Ukraine's borders didn't fully finish, and Russia may not have fully withdrawn its equipment from those borders. But I think as significant as that is something said by the interim president, Mr. Turchinov, in an interview earlier, in which he said that he and his Kiev authorities would not launch a military operation in Crimea itself, because that would leave Ukraine's eastern border exposed. In other words, Ukraine is not going to fight to get Crimea back militarily. And I think that's obviously extremely significant.
We're also hearing reports that workers in the eastern part of Ukraine are worried that they will lose their jobs because a lot of the commerce is done across the border to Russia if Ukraine moves further to the west.
Yes, and I spent some time in Donetsk and in Kharkiv in the east of Ukraine, which have strong pro-Russian populations. One thing, of course, I found there is that being pro-Russian does not necessarily mean that they want to be Russian. A lot of people there said they wanted to stay in Ukraine but maintain those close ties with their neighbor and the regional economic superpower, Russia. And, of course, their concern is that if Crimea breaks away, essentially Ukraine will be left as a rather Western-dominated state, leaving them in fear of their jobs.
Finally, James, of course, the prime minister of Ukraine, as we said, is in Washington today. How important is the help that might come from the West?
Very important politically, diplomatically, and I think in the first instance, financially and economically. Ukraine's economy is in real trouble. Part of this crisis emerged back in November in terms of which way Ukraine was looking to get its money, from Russia or from the European Union. And Mr. Yatsenyuk, the interim prime minister, will be looking for financial guarantees to help Ukraine. He'll also be looking for political guarantees to work out what on earth his country might do if, and possibly now when, Crimea decides to break away.
The BBC's James Reynolds joining us from Sevastopol in Crimea. James, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Jeremy. Thank you very much.